Now we're holding on Nunvav Amud Bey's six lines from the bottom. Gemara says, Itmar, we have a discussion of Amiroyim, Shomer Aveda. When a person has found a lost object, and we know the Torah says he has to hold on to it until he can figure out who the owner is, we're going to learn about Messiah in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, about all the details of how you announce it and how you check whether the person who claims that is telling the truth, etc. Anyway, during the time when he's watching it, what kind of shomer is he considered during that time? Rabba says he's considered like a shomer chinam, which would mean he'd be chayev only as far as pshia, only as far as if he's careless with it, but not anything else, if it was lost, stolen, died, whatever, then you just have to swear to that and based in. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Kashem HaSachar, Damian, Rabbi Yosef says he's considered like a Kashem HaSachar, so he'd be chayiv for Gnei V'Aveda and Potter for Oynes. Now, what is this discussion doing over here in Bava Kama? On the face of it, it belongs there in Bava Metzia. And in fact, there in Bava Metzia, in Eila Metzia, it does bring this machlokas briefly, but it doesn't go through the whole sugya like it does over here. So the Pnei Yeshua says the relevance of it is to hear. We mentioned in the Mishnah the case where a person, as far as a person watching his own animal, what he's responsible for in terms of, we learned Shemira Pchosa, Shemira Ma'ula, does he have to make sure that the door is strong enough to, that the walls and the door are strong enough to withstand even a Ruach She'ena Metzuya, even unusually strong circumstances, only Ruach Metzuya. So he explains, in a similar vein over here, you'd have the question would be, as far as an Aveda, if we treat the person who's looking after it like a Shomer Chinam, then it would mean that as long as he does Shemira Pchosa, it's enough. If we say that he's considered like a Shomer Sachar, as Rabbi Yosef does, then we would require him to do Shemira Ma'ula. The Or Sameach gives a different vote on it, a variation of that. He says the Gemara is going to go on to say that even that according to Rabbi Yosef, who says that he's a Shomer Sachar, there's two different reasons to understand why he would be a Shomer Sachar, and based on those two reasons would come the question: does he need Shemira Ma'ula or is Shemira Pchosa enough? So that would be the relevance of this Machlokas to our Masechta and to our Perek. So what the Pnei Yeshua says, the vote is also, we're not just talking about the shmira that's needed in order for the animal itself to not get injured or damaged or killed or what have you, but more to the point, we're talking about what kind of shmira is the person who's watching and obligated to do to make sure that it doesn't go and cause damages, which eventually are going to bounce back on the owner of it. So that would be the Machlokas Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. So, Rabba Omer Kashem Achinam Domi. Rabba says he's considered like a Shem Achinam, because after all, Rabba says, my Hana Kamotilei. After all, what Hana is coming to him? There's no Hana that he's getting from this watching the animal or whatever the thing is. Therefore, he's like a Shem Achinam. Rabbi Yosef Omer Kashem Asachar Domi, because Rabbi Yosef says there is a Hana. Because he has the Hana that there are going to be certain times when if a poor person comes asking for bread or for tzedakah, he's not going to have to give it to him, because there are times when he's going to be occupied with taking care of a lost object. We have the concept, osik mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. So, for example, in Bava Metzia, the Gemara tells us that if you found a piece of clothing, then you have to shake it out once every 30 days to prevent it from getting moldy or whatever. If you find an animal, you have to feed it, different things like that. So now, while he's busy working with that, if at that moment a poor person were to come to the door asking for tzedakah, then he would be potter from giving him that tzedakah. Therefore, he's gaining by that. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef says he can be called a shomer chinam. And in fact, that point is called in the Gemara and other places, it calls it pruta de Rabbi Yosef, the pruta that Rabbi Yosef says that he's gaining from the fact that he's gaining from the fact that at certain times he's osik the mitzvah. Now, Tosfos explains, first of all, it doesn't just mean as long as he has the lost object in his house, he's potter from other mitzvahs. Obviously not. When a person is eight, we only say osik mitzvah potter min a mitzvah when one of them prevents him from doing the other one, as in this case, if he has to go give the tzedakah to the poor, the bread, whatever, to the poor person, then he has to interrupt what he's doing with the aveda, but otherwise not. Tosfos also discusses at some length. Now, in the end, the Gemara is going to go through a whole sugya over here, and it's not going to come to a final conclusion who the halacha is like. We do have the usual rule that when Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef argue, most of the time the halacha is like Rabbah. But, so is that the case over here, or do we say like Rabbi Yosef? Tosfos points out there are other places in Shas where the Gemara takes Rabbi Yosef's point about Prutah de Rabbi Yosef as a given, so in that case that would indicate the halacha is like that. However, Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. Even Rabbah would agree that when you're occupied with taking care of a lost object, or also for that matter, when you first Radvaz also points out that when you pick it up, when you first find it in the street and you're bringing it home to hold on to it until somebody shows up to claim it. Or until you can, whatever, until you announce it, and then the person comes, whatever, for sure, even Rabbah would agree that you are potter from the mitzvah at that point, because Rabbah doesn't consider that enough of a benefit to warrant him being called a Shrema Sacher, and Rabbi Yosef holds it does. Anyway, so that's one way, so Havik is Shrema Sacher, so therefore Rabbi Yosef says that's reason enough to make him like a Shrema Sacher. Others explain that Rabbi Yosef Omar Kishrei Masacha Dami. Others explain Rabbi Yosef has a different reason, not because of Prutah de Rabbi Yosef, but rather because a different point. Rabbi Yosef Omar Kishrei Masacha Dami, Kivin de Rachmana Shabde Bal Korche, because the Torah is putting him under a shibur, whether he likes it or not. The fact is, the Torah says, you find a lost object that belongs to a fellow Yid, you have to take it in, and you have to look after it until he shows up to claim it. So therefore, the Torah is mandating that you watch this thing, whether you like it or not, and therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, that mandate from the Torah is reason enough to make him, or to make him be considered a Shrema Sacher, and to have a higher level of responsibility for it, to make sure, as we said, first of all, that it itself doesn't get damaged, but more to the point that it itself shouldn't go out and cause damage. So that would be another reason to consider, says Rabbi Yosef, to consider him a Shrema Sacher. Hilkach Shrema Sacher Dami, therefore that would be reason enough to consider him a Shrema Sacher. Meforshim point out, we're not talking about the fact that he has the hanah from the mitzvah per se. There we say mitzvahs lav lahonis nitnu. But according to the first version, it's because of Prutah de Rabbi Yosef, again, because of the fact that he's potter from giving tzedakah to a poor person at that time when he's taking care of the aveda. And according to the second version, the very fact that the Torah itself puts the mitzvah on him, that itself makes him that he's considered like a Shrema Sacher, because the Torah mandates that he has that higher level of responsibility on it. Okay.
But the fact that the Torah places a responsibility without providing a reward, how can that make him a Shrema Sacher?
Well, the idea would be, in other words, that there is actually an explanation. The Imre Dina brings an explanation and says it's true. The second Lashon is not really arguing with the first Lashon. We're saying the first Lashon is saying about the Prutah de Rabbi Yosef. But the fact is, why is that? So what? The guy can say, I don't want the responsibility, and I don't want the reward. I'm not going to take advantage of that Prutah de Rabbi Yosef. So therefore, the second answer is saying that no. In addition, the fact is, the Torah put him under a shibur, whether you like it or not. You're a Shrema Sacher, and again, the fact is, there does exist the schar of Prutah de Rabbi Yosef. You don't want to take responsibility, you don't want to take advantage of it, that's your business, but still, it exists. The Or Sameach makes another point as well, that a Shrema Sacher, the difference is, has the difference is, that by a Shrema Chinam, really basically all you have to do is just put the thing in a safe place, and that's that. Whereas a Shrema Sacher, you have to actually look after it with your own goof. by an aveda. The Torah says that you have to look after it with your own guf. So therefore, that means, in other words, the Torah says Rabbi Yosef, therefore the Torah is putting the responsibility of a shomer sofer on him. So in other words, according to
but again, it doesn't answer my question.
Right. Well, the answer is, according to the second, so that's the thing. According to the Imre Bina, the answer is it's both. He has Prutta de Rabbi Yosef, and even if he doesn't want to take advantage of Prutta de Rabbi Yosef, nevertheless, it exists. According to the Ursameach's reason, the point is, it's true. According to the second reason, there's not necessarily a star involved. Nevertheless, we see that the Torah put on him the responsibilities of a Shomer Sachar, even though he's not being paid for it.
Because well, what about the principle the mitzvahs? We don't do the mitzvahs.
That's true.
We
say what mitzvahs lav l'hanis nitnu. Right. Well, that's the thing. According to the first reason, there is an actual hana there, namely Prutta de Rabbi Yosef. According to the second reason, we're saying there may not be a hana, but nevertheless, since the Torah is saying that he has a higher degree of responsibility for it being an aveda, then therefore, in effect, he's a shomer sachar, even though he's not actually getting paid.
Right.
So now the Gemara brings another one of the simonim, simen achziro la'olam hoshev chia amauta nishbar sachar. Again, this is a key word for the next few arguments that the Gemara is going to bring, going back and forth between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, about to be able to prove one way or the other whether the shomer aveda is like a shomer chinam or like a shomer sachar. I mentioned yesterday about the Rav David Powder's vertlach, about the deeper significance of these simonim. Here he explains this one as having to do with Gilgulim, Hachzira La'olam, the Neshama has to be returned to this world, and the question is why it could be returned, or why can't a person be given another chance while he's still alive, Chia, Meloshin, Meloshin Chayim, and the answer is it doesn't work out, Amarta Nishvar Sachar, because you have to have you can't serve something along the lines of you can't break a schar. Hashem has his judgments of how things have to work out. Anyway, so Esrei of Yosef l'Rabba. So Rav Yosef says to Rabba, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that the Shomer Aveda is only like a Shomer Chinam, but we learn in a Braisa, Echziru l'makom shiyir ena. What happens? So now this guy found a lost object. And he goes and returns it. He finds out who the owner is. So now he goes and returns it to a place where he expects that the owner is going to see it. So he doesn't wait until the owner comes for it. He just, for example, he found, for example, a bundle of money, which he knows, let's say there's a name on it that shows that belongs to Pliny. So he goes and drops it off in a place where he knows that Pliny is going to see it. Ein chayev l'tapol ba, so then he doesn't have to take any further care of it. Nignavai Ogda, but if it gets lost, if it gets stolen or lost from that point on, Chaya Bahriyosa, then he's responsible to make up for it because it got lost or stolen. Now, my Nignavai Ogda, Lav Nignavai Mibese, the Ogda Mibese, doesn't it mean the Pashtos? Now, if we're saying that once he dropped it off by the guy's house, then he's Potter. So the Pashtus, when is Nignavoy Sha'avda? When do we mean if it got lost or stolen, then he's Chaya for it? Means when it's still in his own house. Lav Shenignavoy Mibesay. The Avda Mibesay. Wouldn't it mean that it got stolen or lost from his house? Well, that means, in other words, as long as it is in his house, he's Chaya for Gnevav Aveda. That's exactly the definition of a Shomer Sachar. And the answer is loy. No, Rabba could answer that no, it means mimakam shech zira. It means it got lost or stolen from the place where he returned it to. So he returned it to a place where it's not well protected and where it ends up getting lost or stolen from there. So then even a shomer chinam is going to be chayiv for such a thing. That's presheya. He put it in a place where the owner was going to see it, but it's a place where it can easily be lost or stolen from there. So then so that was pshia for him to leave it in such a place. So Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean? We said once he dropped it off over there, he doesn't have to take any further care of it. So Rabbi answers, the difference is, the case that we're talking about, we're saying that he's chayev for it being lost or stolen, is talking about where he dropped it off in the afternoon. Meaning, so if he, meaning, So v'tauti katani. So the Braisa is telling us two different cases. You, Rav Yosef, are understanding that it's all one. You, Rav Yosef, are understanding that you have like this. It's saying if you dropped it off, then you're not chayev in any responsibility. But if back when it was by your house, Nidnavari Avda, then you are chayev. No, Rabbi is saying, the Braisa is saying two different cases within returning it. If you returned it in the morning before the guy goes to work to a place where he expects that the owner will see it, or shchiach, the eye of nothing, so it's a place where it's common that the owner is going to go in and out, and he's going to see it, then he doesn't have any fear to take care of it anymore, because he dropped it off in the morning, and the person is likely to be home. But if you return it in the afternoon, or some other time of day, when we don't expect that he's going to be home, the Rosh says it doesn't doubt to mean the afternoon. It just means, in other words, even the afternoon, even though sometimes in the afternoon a person does come home, but not necessarily. Marshall points out, really, I mean, it's going to depend on circumstances. Obviously, it depends what the work day is like in a particular place, and other factors like that. Anyway, if you return it in the afternoon, so even though the Mokim Shiyurana, even though it's a place where he would be expected to see it, but Deloy Shriach, the eye of Nothic, it's not common for the owner to go in and out at that hour, Deloy Chazila, therefore he's not going to see it at that time, the Nigzim Vayogda, and it gets lost or stolen, it gets stolen or lost, Chaya Bachriyosa, then the one who found it and returned it to there is Chaya Bachriyosa, because that's not considered that he returned it yet. Because he should have waited to return it until he knows that the owner will see it very shortly. So no proof from this, says Rabba, that the one who was watching it is considered a Shema Sachar. In fact, he is considered a Shema Chinam, but even a Shema Chinam can't do Pshia, and he were to return it in the middle of the day, where it's going to be hours until the guy comes home, is considered Pshia, and even a Shema Chinam would be Chayim for that. Okay. Eisvei. So Rabbi Yosef says, I have another contradiction to Rabba. This one from the continuation of the same Braisa. The one who found the Aveda is always Chayev until he returns it to the other guy's Rishus. Now, my La'olam, what do we mean? What does that word La'olam add? Lav afilu mibese. On the face of it, doesn't it mean even if it gets stolen or lost from his own house? So in other words, the first part of the Braisa was talking about what happens when he returns it. Tosfos points out, if it was a separate Braisa, then we could say it means something else. It means he's chayev not to be careless with it or something. But since it's actually a continuation of the same Braisa, and the Braisa previously mentioned Nignavai Avda, then therefore we understand that this part of the Braisa is also talking about that. So what does it mean that he's chayev for Nignavai Avda? And saying he's always chayev until he returns it to the other guy's rishus implies even when it's by his house, he's chayev for Nev Vaveda. That's the definition of a Shema Sachar. So my lav afilu mibesei. Doesn't that mean even that if it gets stolen or lost from his house? Shmamina Hashem Asachar Dami. Therefore we see that he's considered like Hashem Asachar. So Rabba answers him there is a difference. Modina l'chob balechayim. I do agree to you when it comes to animals that there's a difference that with animals, because they're able to move around, that therefore you are chayev b'nei v'aveda. Now, nothing to do with Prutah de Rav Yosef and with the fact that the Torah imposed extra responsibility on a shomer aveda or anything like that, but by animals, there's a special thing. D'kiven d'nachti lahu nigra bar yosa. Once it happened that this animal already has walked out, this animal has already gone in a different way, in a different place than the rest of the animals in that herd usually go. So therefore, Rabba says, I agree with an animal, you need extra care to make sure that it doesn't wander away again. So therefore, yes, even a Shema Chinam would be chayev for the tevein. But the argument between us, says Rabba, is as far as metalpalin, where they can't move on their own. So there, I see no reason, says Rabba, to consider him a Shema Sachar. There, he's just a Shema Chinam. Now, Tosfos points out before earlier in the previous discussion, when Rabba had to say that Chazira meant that he returned it in the middle of the day, when the guy's not home, why didn't he give a similar answer that we're talking about animals versus other kinds of things? So Tosfos says he hadn't yet thought of that answer. Now Tosfos makes the point that only when, now you don't always say that Nigrid Bar Yossi, you don't always say that this, that it took Nigrid, actually explains, means steps. So Nigrid Bar Yossi means outside steps. In other words, it's already gone a different way than the other ones before. Now Tosfos says, when you have the result that now the animal is more of a wandering type, and therefore it's more likely to be lost or stolen, that's when Rabba would say that therefore you have an extra degree of responsibility. Doesn't mean, for example, that just because this animal was that just because this animal had previously walked out, if now Ganovim break into his property and take the animal, that doesn't mean he'd be chayev, because there you can't say Nigrid Bar Yossi. There it has nothing to do with the fact that it previously went out. They came in and took it. Only when the animal on its own starts wandering away and then Ganovim get it or it gets lost and you can never find it, that's when we'd be saying that he's chayev. Tosfos also says maybe in fact by Gneva, the fact that it previously walked out does not necessarily cause it to be more susceptible to Gneva, so therefore that would explain why in the previous part of the Braisa he couldn't make this distinction between animals and Metaltalin, because they would mention Gneva, whereas here that it doesn't mention Gneva in this part, then therefore he can understand that in fact animals he would be chayav only for Aveda, not for Gneva. Those are the various possibilities that Tosfos discusses. Hagros Agra brings over here that also the Rambam has a bit of a different girsa over here. The Rambam ends up paskining like Rabbi Yosef that he is considered a Shema Sachar. He has a bit of a different girsa over here that it's not even a matter of Medina Lacha that Rabba is saying, I agree with you. This is all actually part of Rabbi Yosef's, statement that if he returned it to the place where the guy is going to see it, and then it gets lost or stolen from there, then actually the shomer would be chayev, because again, once the animal has walked out before, there's a much higher likelihood it's going to walk out again, therefore he has to return it in person rather than just dropping it off over there. So according to the girsa we have in front of us, the question is, to what extent is he chayev for it when it's still in his house? And Rabba is saying, with an animal, he has more of a greater degree of responsibility, whereas according to the Rambam's view, so the vote is, when it comes to an animal, this was actually in Rambam Shlosha Prakim a couple of days ago, that he would actually have to return the animal in person, because otherwise it may wander off again. Okay. So still no contradiction against Rabba. Now the other way around, Estei Rabba Lord of Yosef. Now Rabba says, I have a contradiction to you, Rabbi Yosef. You're saying that the guy is considered like a Shema Sofer, but we have another Braisa that says, Hoshev, now like this, the Pasuk says, when you find a lost object, Hoshev to Shive Machicha, you have to return them to your brother. So why the double expression? So when it says Hoshev, Ein li ela b'vesoi, from that, if you only had the word Hoshev, you would know that only he's yotze if you return it directly to the guy's house. How do we know it would also be good enough if you brought it to his garden or to a ruin, to a broken down house that belongs to him? It's enough that because now he returned it to the other guy's rishus. Therefore, the pasuk says not just hashiv but teshive, meaning you should return them, meaning any kind of returning is good enough. Now, says Rabba, my leginosa or the chobasa. What kind of garden and what kind of churba are we talking about? Ilema leginosa amishtameres or the chobasa amishtameres. Do we mean the kind where it's well guarded, where the garden has a good strong gate and then lock on it, and then the churba similarly? So then there's no chidush, hainu beisai. That's exactly the same as returning it to his house, and the braisa doesn't need to tell us a ribui from a posuk that he's yotze. Evidently, we have to be talking about that he returned it to a garden or a churba that's not so well guarded. And nevertheless, the Braisa is saying that's good enough for him to return it there. Therefore, doesn't that amount to saying that he's a shema chinam? Because one of the things is so we're saying by a shema chinam he has a lesser degree of responsibility. So therefore, his lesser degree of responsibility would include that he can just return it to a gina and a churba. All he needs is to, in terms of what we said in the Mishnah, he has to make sure that it won't go out beruach mitzuya under the normal circumstances that prevail at that time. If the only thing that's going to allow it to go out is a ruach shein mitzuya, then that's fine. He'd still be potter, but only if he's a shema chinam. So the Braisa then is implying exactly that. He's a shema chinam. Therefore, it's enough for him to return it to a place where it'll be safe beruach mitzuya, but not beruach she'ena mitzuya. Mefroshim do deal with the point. Actually, the context of the pasuk is talking about finding an animal and returning it. And we just said Rabbi himself agrees that with animals you have a higher degree of responsibility. So what's going on over here? And there are various answers. When this machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef is brought in Bav Metzia, Tosfos says over there that maybe Rabbah thought we're talking about animals that are not able to walk. They're tied up or they're incapacitated or whatever, and therefore you don't have the point that we said before about Nigrid Bar Yossa that's previously walked out, and therefore it's more likely to wander off again. A different Tosfos elsewhere and in Shas and Shavuos points out another reason that, look, the pasuk doesn't mention only animals, it mentions also simlosai, which means a garment. So therefore, Rabbah would say that it's true. As far as animals, you can't just return it to a gin or a churba and expect that to be good enough. But with clothing or something like that, then that's good enough. And then there are various other answers as well. Again, Tosfos had said before that only when we say that the animal gets lost again or stolen again because of Nigrid Bar Yossa, therefore we can be mechayev him, but otherwise not. Well, very well. We could have a case over here where in the Ginner or the Churba, it doesn't wander out again. It is closed off, the Ruach Mitzuya, but let's say Ganovim go in there and take it, where you can't hold him responsible for that because it's not the fact that it previously walked out that caused it to get stolen. So various answers of what Rabbah would do with that. Anyway, the point is that Rabbah is saying that the Braisa is saying it's good enough to return it to a Gina or a Churba. According to me, who says that he's a Shema Chin, I'm good. That's easy to understand. According to you, Rabbi Yosef, if he's a Shema Sachar, why is that good enough? Omale, so Rabbi Yosef answers him, La'olam l'ginosei ha'mishtameres l'chobosei ha'mishtameres. The answer is that no, I would say the Braisa is in fact talking about a garden or a churba that are well guarded. So we're talking, in other words, even a ruach she'ena mitzuya is not going to cause the animal to be free to go out. You have a garden with a strong door and a strong lock, or a churba similarly. And ud kokashal hainu beisoy. Now you, Rabbah, were asking in that case, what's the chiddush? That's exactly the same as returning it to his house. What's the chiddush? Hakamash malon. The answer is, Rabbi Yosef says, the chiddush of that braisa and the chiddush of the pasuk that it's darshening is deloid ba'id das dailin, that you don't require the das of the owner. So you shouldn't think that maybe in order to return a lost object, you're not yotze, unless you actually give it to in such a way that the owner knows it's there. No, says Rabbi Yosef, the point of the braisa is, as long as you put it in a place that's mishtameres, and Rabbi Yosef saying, being that the guy's a shema sacha, means it has to be mishtameres, strong mishtameres, shmira ma'ula, as we've called it before. But once he does that, then it's good enough, even if the owner doesn't know about it, because eventually, fine, he may do it in the middle of the day, let's say, and the owner is not home, but eventually the owner is going to come to his gina or churba and find it. V'chidr Rabbi Lazar. And so Rabbi Yosef says, the point of this braisa and the point of the pasuk is like Rabbi Lazar says. D'amar Rabbi Lazar, ha'kol tzrichin das bailim, chutz me'ashavas aveda. Whenever a person is returning something, for example, a person stole something, then it's not good enough to just drop it off in the guy's property and be yotze that way. You always need, says Rav Elazar, you always need das bailim. You always need to tell the other person that you returned it. Chutz me hashavas aveda, with the exception of hashavas aveda, they are your yotze. Even if the guy doesn't know, shari ribs bo torah hashavas harbe, because there the Torah implies by saying hoshev teshivim that you're yotze, even if you that you're yotze even if you didn't actually inform him. So therefore, so the Braisa is making, so the Braisa is making that exact same point, but not to say that, not to say that if he returned it to a Gino or a Churva that's not well guarded, that he would be Potter. Rabbi Yosef is saying, since he's a Shrema Sacher, he would in fact be Chayev in that case. And the truth is, later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about there are actually cases, where even a Ganav or a Gazlan can return the thing without informing the other guy. We're going to have cases later in our Masechta that deal with such things. For example, let's say you put it, Reuven stole from Shimon. Let's say Reuven stole $10 from Shimon. Later on, at some point, he's paying Shimon for something else and includes an extra $10 together with that. Then he, without actually telling Shimon, I'm giving you an extra $10 for that, then he's still yotze the mitzvah of the Heshev HaSagzela with that. We're going to deal with such cases later in the Masechta. The idea being, in other words, a person is going to count his money and he'll realize soon enough that there's extra over there and he'll put two and two together. Okay. So no contradiction to Rabbi Yosef from this Braisa, because Rabba would say the Braisa is talking about returning it to a Gino or a Churva, which are not well guarded. It's only good enough for Ruach Metzuya, and nevertheless he's Potter. That would mean that he's a Shrema Chinam, but Rabbi Yosef is saying no, it's talking about a well guarded Gino or Chotzer, and the Chiddush is good enough to return it over there without informing the owner. Next, Amalei Abaya to Rabbi Yosef. So now Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, I have more questions on you. The Rashba gives an explanation why Rabba gives up the argument at this point and why Abaya takes over. Rabba himself has a shitta in Bava Metzia about returning things at a certain time. So therefore, the next question that Abaya is going to ask on Rabbi Yosef wouldn't be relevant according to Rabba, but Abaya himself is asking according to his own shitta. So he says, Rabbi Yosef, va'at lo tisbara d'shemach aveda k'shemachinam, dummy, don't you agree that a shomer aveda is considered like a shemachinam? I have a proof for you. Suppose a person found a lost object. Now, later on, the owner of it comes to ask for it back, and the other guy claims that meanwhile it was stolen from him. And so then the other guy takes him to Beis Din and he actually swears. Now we did learn, by the way, in Gittin, we learned Hamotzim Tzia Lo Yishava Mepnei Tikuna Olam Mecham Mele Takana, that a person who finds an Aveda doesn't swear because Tikuna Olam, because otherwise people are going to say, why should I bother picking up the Aveda in the first place? That's talking about, for example, where he's a Moedib Mikzas, where Reuven says, I lost $100, and Shimon says, all I found of yours is $50, so we're not going to make Shimon swear as a motive of mitzvah when they took an olam. But here we're talking about something else, where Reuven finds an animal, for example, he finds $100, whatever. Reuven loses an animal or $100 or whatever. Shimon finds it, and now when Reuven comes to collect it, then Shimon tells him it was stolen. So Reuven takes him to Beis Din, because as a shomer, because again, even if he's a shomer chinam, he'd still need to swear to that in Beis Din. He swears falsely. He swears that it was stolen, and it turns out that it was false. So he made that claim and he swore falsely. So now later on, Edim show up and say that he himself stole it. So Mishalom Tashlum Ekevel. So therefore, he himself is considered a ganav, and therefore he himself is going to pay Tashlum HaKefil. Rashi refers to, in the next parak, we're going to learn the details of these dinim, and we're going to talk about where we learn that from in the pasuk. Anyway, the point is, says Abaya, the Sakdad and Shrema Socher Habi. If you're gonna tell me that the one who's watching it is considered a Shrema Socher, Amai Mashalam Tashlome Kefil. Why does Tashlome Kefil even come into the picture? If you say he's a Shrema Chinam, a Shrema Chinam is Potter for Gnev of Aveda. Okay, so he's claiming that it was stolen, therefore he swears, and when he swears, he's Potter. And now, when it turns out that he was lying and he actually stole it himself, he's paying Tashlome Kefil. But if it comes to a Shrema Socher is anyways Chayav for Gnev of Aveda. Pounder Boy Shalumi. So as soon as he claims that it was stolen, immediately he's going to be on the hook to pay the Keren. It never reaches the point where he's going to be taken to Beis Din and swear and then end up paying Kefil. And in fact, Tosfos adds the point, once he says that it was stolen, in effect meaning therefore that he's saying, I'm responsible to pay for it, so even if later on, Adam do come and say that he himself stole it, you still can't make him chayiv for the kefil. So what is there a case where the Priya Ba'aba is saying that there can be a case where he's paying kefil, if the guy is a Shrema Socher to begin with? On the lay, so Rabbi Yosef answers, Hoch my skin going to turn Tainus list in Mizuyan. He's not just making an ordinary claim that it was stolen, as in somebody went into his house while he wasn't home and stole it. We're talking about that he claims that it was stolen from him by an armed bandit. Now that kind of thing is considered an oinus. A Shrema Socher is potter for oinus. So therefore, yes, you have the case where he's trying to potter himself from paying with that claim, and later on it turns out Adam come and say that he was lying. So that's why he's paying Kate. The question is, Amalei list in Missourian Gazlan who? What do you mean? Isn't a list in Missourian a Gazlan? And in the case of a Gazlan, then the whole concept where the shomer should have to pay double is only when it was gneva. Now there's a difference in halacha between gneva and gzela. We're going to talk about this distinction in more detail in the next parak. Basically, the difference is that a ganav comes in stealth. He comes, for example, he breaks into the house when nobody is home, for example, and he steals or different cases like that. A gazlan is there's actually a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that describes one of David's soldiers by Yigzel Sahanis Mian Mitzri. He grabbed a spear from a Mitzri, from an enemy, and killed him with that same spear. So we see that gzela means actually grabbing it out of the other guy's hand, meaning that gzela is where the other guy knows about it and he takes it forcibly. So Abaya is asking, a list in Mizuyan, an armed bandit, is considered a gazlan. Now, when the Torah says the whole concept of Tashlume Kefil and Tashlume Abal B'Chamisha in the case of an animal, that applies only to a ganav. That whole concept does not apply to a gazlan for reasons that we're going to learn in the next parak. So, that being the case, if the shomer, now we're saying if the shomer makes a tainus ganav, then he himself, if it turns out that he was the ganav, then he's treated like a ganav and paying kefil. But if he himself makes a claim of gzela, then he's considered like a gazlan. A gazlan never pays kefil. So then, if he's claiming list in mizuyan, then there's still no kefil to talk about. Amalei, so Yosef answers, no. Shani Omer, list in mizuyan, given the difference is a list in mizuyan, given the mitmar, since he tries to hide from people, ganav who, then therefore he is considered for this purpose a ganav. In other words, when would we consider it a gazlan? Only if he actually goes and grabs the thing out of the guy's hand or something openly. Here, a list in Missouri and hides from people, hide by the side of the road or whatever to go and lurk and leap out at people. So that kind of thing makes him considered a ganav, and therefore, yes, if there's a claim of listing mizuyan, so on the one hand, it would be considered an oines, and therefore Shrema Socher would be potter for it. But if it turns out there was no listing mizuyan, and he himself had stolen it, then instead we consider him a ganav, and we would say the listing mizuyan himself, if there truly was a listing mizuyan, eventually would have to pay kefil. And now, if the shomer made a claim of listing mizuyan, then it turns out that it was false, and he himself did it, then he himself would have to pay kefil. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef is saying it could still work, even with a Shrema Socher, because the fact is that list in Mizuyan would be considered an oinus, and a Shrema Socher is potter from oinus as long as he swears to that. One way of understanding why is a list in Mizuyan considered a ganav When the Rambam brings this halacha, the Magid Mishnah gives an explanation that the list of Mizuyan, basically, he does intend to go in there without anybody knowing. So in that sense, he's like a ganav. So in other words, the usual way of explaining why a list of Mizuyan is considered like a ganav is because we're saying because he hides out by the side of the road. But the Magid Mishnah gives a different explanation. He does in fact come onto the property to begin with in stealth. But he has a weapon with him in case he's confronted. That this way he can fight his way out of it. So therefore, that's enough for him to be considered a ganav because to begin with he was trying to accomplish it in a way where the other guy is not going to know about it. But later on, and then in the next paragraph, the Gemara points out the difference is a gazlan in a way the Torah treats more leniently because he has no motor boss of a dumb or motor from Hashem. That's less serious in a way than a ganav who's afraid of people but not afraid of Hashem and therefore deserves to be punished more harshly. Okay. So the point is, in other words, so there's no contradiction from that. So yes, the Shomer Aveda, says Rabbi Yosef, is considered like a Shomer Safar. What would be the case where Kefo could come into the picture if he claims list in Mizuyan? On the one hand, it's an Ones. On the other hand, it's considered like a Ganav as far as Kefo. Eisve, so Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, I have another contradiction against you. Abraisa says, Now the core of the Braisa that we're quoting over here begins with the word loy at the top of the next Amud. Rashi says, evidently it's a Braisa, but I don't know where it's taught. I don't know what the context of it is. It suggests that we're starting in the middle of a Braisa, but where is the beginning of the Braisa? Rashi says, I don't know. Tosfos says that it refers to, towards the end of Perek HaMafkid, you have a case that discusses over there if the one who's watching the pikadin, so a regular shomer, if he is shaleach yad, if he goes and then decides, if he goes and actually misuses the thing, the pikadin, that's by him, he's a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, as the case may be, and he has no business using it, and he decides to use it for his own purposes, so then it's considered that he's koneit, and now he's chayev for anything that happens to it, including onsin. So Tosfos says there's a braisa over there that talks about how we know this concept by both a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar, and so the braisa over there is trying to learn one from the other by a kal v'chomer. And then so here we're picking up in the middle of the braisa where the Gemara is going to try to slog up that kal v'chomer. So the Braisa says, no, you can't necessarily learn a Shomer Sachar from a Shomer Chinam. Ima Mauta of a Shomer Chinam, you know, because the whole concept of Shlichus Yad it only mentions in the Torah in connection with a Shomer Chinam. It doesn't mention it in connection with a Shomer Sachar. So we have to figure out how we know that if he's Shleach Yad, that if he misuses the Pikadin, that he should be Chayiv for anything that happens to it, Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar. So first the Braisa tries to make a Kavah Chomer on it. And then the Braisa says, loy, not necessarily is that a valid kal v'chomer. Ima marta b'shrei mechinam, you know why? You can say that maybe the concept of shlichus yad, and that he's chayiv now for everything, applies to a shrei mechinam, shekein b'shalom tashlomei kepo, because the shrei mechinam has a chumra in that he pays tashlomei kepo. Again, when he claims tainas ganav. How do you compare to a shrei mechinam where he's not paying tashlomei kepo? Because again, if he claims that it was stolen, then automatically he's chayiv to pay the keren, and therefore there never comes a point when he's paying kefil. Now, says Abaya, the Sakhadaitach, list in Mizuyan Ganabu, if you're telling me, Rabbi Yosef, that a list in Mizuyan, that an armed robber, is in fact considered like a ganav, and therefore there is kefil involved, nimtza b'shem esachar, mishalom tashlomei kefil, then yes, you do have a case of a shem esachar who pays tashlomei kefil, because exactly that, where he claims that it was stolen by a list in Mizuyan, and he swears to that in Beis Din, and then it turns out that to Edom come and say that he swore falsely, and that in fact he kept it for himself, and based on what we just said, he'd be paying tashlomei kefil. So how can the Braisa be slogging up the kal v'chomer by saying that a shomer sachar never pays kefil according to you, Rabbi Yosef? Yes, there is a case that he does. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef says hochi kamer. What the Braisa means is as follows: loy, the reason why you can't use the kal v'chomer because imamauta b'shomer chinam shekein meshalom tashlomei kefil b'chol tan noisav. All the Braisa means is with a Shomer Chinam, no matter what he claims happened to the thing, he's always going to pay kefil. Whether he claims it was lost or stolen or an ones or anything like that, always Hashem Achinam is potter from everything except for Pshia. So as long as he's not claiming that it was Pshia or Shlichus Yad, then he would be able to swear, and he gets off without paying anything. And then if it turns out that he's lying, then it turns out he's paying Tefil because he's considered the Ganav. So Hashem Achinam, the Braise is saying, always pays Tashlomi Tefil, no matter what kind of claim he makes about what happened to the animal, to the thing. So the Braise is saying, how do you compare to a Shema Sachar? As opposed to the Shema Sachar, there's only going to be the one case where he pays Kefal when there's a Taina of Listim Mizuyan. But if he were to claim regular Gneva or regular Aveda, he would in fact be chayav to pay only Keren and not Kefal, and therefore the Braise is saying that you can't, but that since you have that Chumra in a Shema Socha over a Shema Chinam, therefore you can't necessarily learn that the concept of Shlichus Yad that applies to one automatically applies to the other. So the Braise is not saying that a Shema Sachar never pays Kefal. The Braise is just saying there's a much lesser likelihood that a Shema Sachar is going to be paying Kefal, because it would only be if he claimed Listim Mizuyan in the first place. All right, Eisveis, our Braise says, I have another contradiction on Rabbi Yosi. A Braise, now you have the Pasuk says about a Shoyel. So the Pasuk describes a person borrowed an animal or something else from somebody else. The Nishbar Oimes, if that animal then gets broken or dies, then we say he's chayev to pay. Aim the Ela Shvura Umesa. So based on the Pasuk, you would know that a Shoyel is only chayev for Shvura Umesa, only where the animal was broken or, meaning injured, or where it died. Gneva Vaveda Minayin, how do we know that a Shoyel is also chayev for Gneva Aveda? So Amar to Kavachomer. Well, you're gonna figure it as a Kavachomer. Umashem a Socher Shapotter by Shvoro Mesa, Chia Bgneva Aveda, Madach Hashem a Socher, who is Potter, the Torah patters him for Shvoro Mesa, because the Pasuk actually says explicitly a few psukim earlier that if the animal was Nishbar or Nishba or whatever, then he takes a Shvor, and then he's Potter. So Mada Hashem Asachar, who's Potter for Shvur Omesa, Chayev B'Gnev V'Aveda, but he's Chayev B'Gnev V'Aveda. Again, the Pasuk says so explicitly. So then, Shoyel Shechiyev B'Shvur Omesa, Ene Din Shechiyev B'Gnev V'Aveda. So then if a Shoyel is Chayev even for Shvur Omesa, which is an Oynes, how much more so that he's Chayev for Gnev V'Aveda, which is less of an Oynes. And the Braise says, V'Zeru Kavachomer, She'en Olav Tshuva, this is in fact a Kavachomer where there's no possible refutation of it. It's clear that that's how it is, that a shoyel is going to be chayev for everything. The point why the Braise finishes off with that, so actually it fits with our sugya over here. The Torah Chaim explained that here you have the argument between Abaya and Rabbi Yosef about the definition of Listin Mizuyan, which eventually again ties in with what we said before about whether the Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar. So you would think, to make the distinction that Abaya is saying, that a Listin Mizuyan may not be considered a Ganav, and therefore that would affect this Kavachomer, because a Listin Mizuyan is an Oynes, and we still say that a Shomer, and we still say that there's Kefal involved. But we're not saying that. We still say, like Rabbi Yosef is saying, that a list of Mizuyan is in fact considered basically like a Ganev, and therefore there is in fact Kefal involved. So here, Abaya is trying to argue not like that, but the Gemara is going to point out it's not so, and therefore the Braise is sort of trying to forestall that argument, that potential argument, by saying there's no way of refuting that Kavachon, as we're going to see the continuation of the discussion. So, says Abaya, if you're going to tell me that a Listin Mizuyan is considered a Ganav, and therefore that he pays Kefal, and if a Shomer claims Listin Mizuyan, and it turns out that he's lying, then he pays Kefal, Well, then, my anal of tshuva. Then why is there no refutation of that kavah chomer? Ikal mifrach. You could shrug it up. You could say mala shrema sachar shekain mishalim tashlum akepel b'toyin tainas listen mizuyan. After all, you could say, what are you telling me? You're making a kavah chomer because you're saying everything that a shrema sachar is potter for. Now, things that a shrema sachar is potter for, a shoyel is chayim for. But what about this case of listed mizuyan? You're telling me it's considered like a ganav, and a ganav a shrema sachar is already chayav for. So you're saying that and the point is a shrema sachar would be paying kefil in that case. Whereas again a shoyel, there's no case where he'd be paying kefil because even whatever he claims, whether he claims an onus or not, either way he's chayav to pay. Therefore, it never reaches the point of him swearing falsely and having to pay kefil. So then you do have a chumrah in a shrema sachar over a shoyel, a case where a shrema sachar is going to be paying kefil and the shoyel will not. So if you say, in other words, that a listed mizuyan is not considered a ganav but rather a gazlan, then you never have kefil. So therefore fine, you don't have any chumrah in a shrema sachar over a shoyel. But if you're telling me he's a ganav and there's kefil involved, then don't you have a chumrah in the shrema sachar over the shoyel. Omalei, sort of Yosef answers him, Kosava Hai Tana, because the Tana of this Braisa takes the view, Tana Beloi Shvua Adifa Mikfeva B'Shvua. You know what? To have to take Keren without having to take a Shvua is considered stronger and considered more chomer than having to pay Kefil based on a Shvua. Meaning, in other words, like this, you have a shoyel right on the spot becomes chayev. There's no shvua, there's no nothing, and right away he's chayev to pay ken. It's true that a shrema sachar, there could be a case where he's going to end up paying more. But you know, that's only going to be, you have to have a bunch of circumstances over here. You have to have, he's going to swear falsely, and then edim come. So therefore, that's not really considered a chumrah on the shrema sachar. That's just considered, in effect, Rashi says it's just a chumrah for the fact that he swore falsely. So you can't really consider it an intrinsic chumrah of a shrema sachar, and therefore the kavah chomer that the braisa made is still valid. So there is in fact it's true there would be an actual case where the shrema sachar pays more, but nevertheless it's not necessarily that constitutes a chumrah in the shrema sachar. It's really more a special case of a chumrah of shvua, and here by a shoyel there's no shvua relevant in the first place, so therefore there's nothing to talk about. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos explains a little differently that. Because what makes him have to pay the kefil is because he would have been potter from paying the keren. So in other words, it's either or. Either you're paying keren or you're paying kefil. So therefore, you can't really consider one chumrah compared to the other. The very fact that he's potter from keren in the case of the shrema sachar, where he claims listed mizuyan, that itself makes him chayav in kefil if he claims falsely and it turns out that he was lying. So therefore the Tana is still saying there's no kavah chomer she'ein alav tshuva. In fact, there is a valid kavah chomer over here that you really can't find any chumrah that a shrema sachar has over a shoyel, I this case of kefil, but that's not considered a chumrah for the reasons that we just said. All right, the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, can we say that the following Braisa, that the following Mishnah, rather, supports Rabbi Yosef's position? So, the point is, this was all kind of a side discussion over here about the status of a list in Mizuyan. This ties into, we needed to say that list in Mizuyan is a Ganav in order for Rabbi Yosef to be able to explain what the cases of Toyin Tainus Ganav Aveda and paying Tashlum Kefil. If you say that the Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Sachar, then a Shomer Sachar is Chayev for Gnev Aveda. So what would be the case? Where he ever comes to pay Kefil in the first place is Tainus listed Mizuyan. So that drove the discussion from the bottom of Omer Aleph until here, the middle of Omer Beis, about what is it in fact the case that a listed Mizuyan is considered a Ganav. So fine, Rabbi Yosef has defended that position. Now we can get back to the main discussion about whether the Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar. So, the Gemara says, can we prove Rabbi Yosef's point that he's a Shomer Sachar from the following Mishnah in Perek HaMakdim? When a person rents a cow from somebody else, and at this point we're assuming that a socher has the same dinim as a shomer socher, which is in fact, as we've learned before, and as we're going to learn again soon, there are different opinions about that. But anyway, so he rents a cow from somebody else, the nignava, then the cow was stolen. It's a braisa there. He says, I'll pay, I'm not going to swear, even though I would be able to swear and I would be potter, nevertheless, I'm choosing to pay. And later on, we find the ganav. So Meshalim, Tashlom Ekefel, La Socher, then he pays, but Tashlom Ekefel to the renter. At the beginning of the Hamakid, it talks about the whole concept of there, that there are cases where sometimes the Shomer is entitled to the Kefel or the Abba Hamisha, basically where he pays, or in some cases, the Gemara says, even when he says that he's going to pay, and then that way he's not Matriach, the other guy to come to Beis Din to get the whole thing worked out. So therefore, so the Gemara discusses over there how the mechanism by which the owner is machna to him the kefal of the Abav Hamisha. So here we have one of those examples where the socher says, instead of, even though I'm a socher and I would be potter from paying, nevertheless, I'm going to pay. So now if it comes out that there's a kefal, then it's considered that he acquired the animal and therefore that he acquires the kefal. Now, Savruha, now the Bnei HaYeshiva who brought up this point where they're trying to where they're trying to use it as a proof for Rabbi Yosef, they thought to Rabbi Yehuda that this braisa would necessarily be according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Amas Socher Kenosa Socher Dami. He says that a socher has the same din as a Noisa Socher as a Shomer Socher. So therefore, the dinim of a shomer socher, that a shomer socher is chayev of nev v'aveda and has to pay on the spot. But on the other hand, for unsin his potter, Rabbi Yehuda holds the same thing applies to a socher. The reason why the Gemara makes that assumption, Tosfos says, first of all, because there's a stam mishnah in the Sefer Shavuos that says that way, and we know the halacha is always like a stam mishnah. Aside from that, anyway, a different other Rishonim point out that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in that regard. We'd rather assume that the Braisa goes according to the one according to whom the Halacha is like. And for that matter, the same way as we say Stam Mishnah and a Meir, we often have that Stam Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, and that's another reason why to say that we would assume the Braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, so then in that case, a Socher is, again, Chaya for Gnev Vaveda, he's Potter for Oinus. So umid katoni omer harini mashalim ve'inim nishba. Now the braisa is saying that he says I'm going to pay and I'm not going to swear. Mikral di iboi potel nafshi b'shvua. So obviously the implication is he's making a claim where he could have gotten away with a shvua, and he's saying instead of doing that, instead of being matriach you to come to Beis Din and I'm going to swear and that still doesn't put any money in your pocket. Instead I'll be a nice guy and I'll just pay for it. Well hechi dami. So what's the scenario where he'd be able to get away with a claim that where he'd be able to get away with a claim and a shvua? We're going to got to katoin tainus listim mizuyan. Evidently, it must be that he's claiming listim mizuyan, because again, if it was a regular gneva, he would have been chayev in the first place. If we say that a shomer socher, is considered like a shomer socher, then gneva that we wouldn't even get to a shvua in the first place. He'd just pay because a socher like a shomer socher is chayev for gneva. So it must be obviously that he's claiming listim mizuyan. The katoni and the braisa is saying v'achakach nimsa ganav mishalom tashlom kefal socher. And we said afterwards the ganav was found, so he pays tashlom kefal to the socher. Now again, if we said that a listim mizuyan is not considered a ganav, then there's no tashlom kefal in the first place. If the braisa is talking about him paying tashlom kefal, obviously he's considered a ganav. So that would support Rabbi Yosef's position that a listim mizuyan is considered a ganav. So does that prove Rabbi Yosef's position? Amri, so they answer back, not necessarily. Mi sabret Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda daman socher kenoise socher dami. You're thinking that this brisa necessarily is like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that a socher is considered like a noise socher. Not necessarily. Duma could have mayor severely. Maybe in fact this brisa holds like Rabbi Meir. Dama socher kashemachinam dami. He says that a socher is considered only like a shemachinam. Well, then in that case, you don't have to resort to listing mizuyon. You could be talking about a case where he's claiming a regular gneva, and nevertheless, he's even a regular gneva, there's kefal involved, and he'd still be potter because a regular gneva, a shem achinam, is potter for. So there's no reason, it's not necessary to say, therefore, that we're talking about that he's claiming listing mizuyon. You could equally well have that he's claiming a regular gneva, and we're talking about a point to the opinion that he's a shemachin. Or if you don't want to have to say that the brisa is like Rabbi Meir, kidemachlis v'alabaravua. After all, you could instead say that the brisa goes according to Rabbi Baravua's version, where he flips around the Tony, he flips around the opinion of the opinions, because he learns that a brisa says socher ketzav mashalim. How does a socher pay? What things is he chayav and what things is he potter? Rabbi Meir oimik hashem asocher, Rabbi Yehuda oimik hashem achinam. Rabbi Meir, on the contrary, according to Rabbi Baravua's version, is the one who says that he's like a shem asocher. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says he's like a shem achinam. So therefore, you can have the brisa that we just quoted, even if you want to say the brisa is like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, very well, according to Rabbi Baravua's version, Rabbi is the one who holds he's like a shem achinam. Therefore, you can't prove from here that the case of a ganav, that the case where he's claiming that he would be potter has to be a case of oinus, and therefore it has to be listed mizuyan, and that listed mizuyan pays kefal, and that would bear out Rabbi Yosef's point. But rather, you could say that the brisa means that Rabbi Yehuda is saying he's like a shemachinam, and therefore an ordinary case of gneva where there's definitely kefal involved, he would be potter from because he's similar to a shemachinam. So therefore, no proof from that from Rabbi Yosef. Doesn't mean we're contradicting Rabbi Yosef, but on the other hand, we can't bring for Rabbi Yosef a proof from that brisa. Rabbi Zera says there's a different answer. You could say, yeah, we are talking about listing mizuyon, and yeah, we are talking about that. The socher is like a shem socher. But you could say, v'toyin tainas hocha bayaskinen, v'toyin tainas listing mizuyon, v'nimsa listing she'ena mizuyon. The case could be where the socher is claiming that the thing was stolen by a listing mizuyon, and it turns out in the end that it was a listim she'ena mizuyan. So in other words, you're asking, how is there kefal in the first place? If the guy is a gazlan, and a gazlan never pays kefal, you don't have to say like Rabbi Yosef that a listim mizuyan is in fact considered is considered a ganav and there's kefal involved. No, you could say the socher is considered like a shema socher. So he claims there was a listim mizuyan, which is an oines, and as a shema socher, as a socher, which is like a shema socher, he would be potter from that. However, in the end, it turns out, yes, it was stolen, but not by a listim mizuyan, but rather by a listim shein mizuyan. So therefore, so that guy is a regular ganav, and there's definitely kefal involved. And therefore, that's how you could have that. On the one hand, he's claiming to be potter, and he has the option to swear. And instead of taking that option, he decides that he's going to go and pay. And it turns out that there is in fact kefal, because it turns out there was a listim she'ena mizuyan. So still, that wouldn't necessarily prove Rabbi Yosef's point that a listim mizuyan is considered like a ganav. Maybe in fact a listim mizuyan is not considered like a ganav, and nevertheless, there can be kefal involved, because in the end it turns out there was a list in she'ena mizuyan. The Maharam Shif points out, by the way, that we don't even have to say the Gemara could have given a different answer as well. The Gemara could have said that after all, we don't have to be talking about where he intends to swear truthfully. He could have falsely, Rashi brings in Hamafkid in that sugya over there about the kefal and all that. That, after all, he had the option at any time of swearing falsely. So in that case, over here also, you could say that he would have sworn falsely. This is similar, I guess, in a way, to Reb Zeira's answer. He could have sworn falsely that it was listed in Mizuyan, and it turns out that not, and nevertheless, so therefore, so even to begin with, even when the Gemara pointed out that we could use this as a proof for Rabbi Yehuda, for Rabbi Yosef, it wasn't necessarily such a strong proof because after all, not necessarily do we have to assume that the claim he would have made would have been a true one in the first place. So that's that. So we've gone through that sugya. So again, the Gemara has not concluded whether the Gemara has not really concluded whether the halacha is like Rabba or like Rabbi Yosef. Again, usually when we have a machlokas Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, most of the time the halacha is like Rabba. But here, again, Tosfos pointed out at the beginning of the sugya, since the Gemara takes it as a given in other places that we do have that we do accept the concept of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef, then that would imply that he's considered a Shomer Sachar, and that is in fact how it's passed in Mahalacha. The Shomer Aveda is considered like a Shomer Sachar, therefore he's Chayiv Gnev Aveda, and therefore in particular, what it means is that he has a responsibility to make sure that the animal, to make sure with Shemina Ma'ula, that the animal doesn't go out and cause damage. Okay.